Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament passage of 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians, and we find our way to chapter number 8. The book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 8. We've been marching through this wonderful passage of 2 Corinthians that we, earlier this year, we hit 1 Corinthians and saw the Apostle Paul's heart as he had a tear-stained letter that he delivered to the church of Corinth. There he rebuked a lot of their behaviors. And now with the second letter, he is writing to them in response that most people are responding well. And now he has taken some time to help perfect them, to help correct them, to help bring them along in the idea that they have a part to play in the idea of accomplishing the Great Commission. And if you don't mind, let's find this for ourselves in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, notice with me if you don't mind, in verse number 1. Notice if you don't mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, by occasion, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not to the other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that gathered little hath no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us in this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and the declaration of your ready mind. avoiding this, that no man should blame us in the abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We have sent with them our brother, whom we have ofttimes proved diligent in many things, but is now much more diligent, and upon great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and notice with me in verse 3 the phrase, beyond their power. Beyond their power. And if we were to subtitle this or give an explanation of what we're teaching here, we're going to teach a principle about grace giving or faith promise giving. Both of those are acceptable terms for what we're speaking about today. Grace giving or faith promise giving. Beyond their power, grace giving or faith promise giving. And with this, we would like to explain what our church does based off of this passage here in the idea of supporting financially the idea of missionaries and missions projects around the world. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give grace and that you would give mercy, that you would help us to have an understanding for the purpose that you could continue you to help our church move forward in the areas that you have given to us and concerns with the idea of supporting missions projects, supporting missionaries, and taking our place within what is the Great Commission. Lord, I'm asking that you would give us spiritual discernment, that you would help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, your still small voice, that you can direct us to what you would have us to do this upcoming year in regards to our own missions program. Lord, I do not want to preach this in my own flesh. I need your power because I want them to see you high, holy, and lifted up. So the best I know how, I surrender myself to you and ask that you draw people to yourself here, that we could have wisdom and discernment and understanding, and that we could find our place in what you would have us to do. We need you now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Christian life, giving is always an important idea. And in the Christian church, there is three basic levels of giving that Christians should be a part of. The very first is the tithe. The tithe is simply defined as the 10%. That whenever we get paid, that God requires of the tithe. The tithe is already the Lord's. It's not ours. It belongs to Him. But for us, it is a worship that we are acknowledging what God has done for us, and by faith anticipating that God would continue to supply our needs. That the tithe is an important part of our worship. Now, we're going to talk all throughout here that all of this is willing, meaning that no one is forcing you, no one's taking your W-2 and checking it out and examining it, but it's the idea that we're teaching the principles and that you on your own decide your worship of the Lord based off of the principles given in the Bible. So you understand that we're not twisting anybody's arm or whatever else. We're giving you information. You make your own decisions based off of the information given to you based off of the Word of God. So the tithe is the very basic level of giving. Again, technically, you don't give the tithe. The tithe is already the Lord's. But you give it as an act of worship. And we've already talked about that already in the book of 1 Corinthians, that on the very first day they collected the tithe for storehouse giving. We'll explain storehouse giving in just a second. But the tithe is the principle that we worship God. Now, above and beyond the tithe, after the tithe is given, then we give what is called an offering. An offering is just above and beyond the tithe. It's something because we don't want, as Christians, just to say we're doing the bare minimum. because it's a worship of God, we want to be willing to be used of God to take care of things. Now, remember the idea of a local church, the way that God set it up, that a local church does not receive money from an outside source, meaning that we don't have any other churches supporting us. We don't have a convention. We don't have a fund. We don't have rich people who don't attend here giving here. The only way that the church is supported is through God's people voluntarily giving of their tithes and their offerings. This is how God has designed it, that as people worship the Lord, God uses that to fund his church. Nobody's getting rich here, but we use it to pay for the lights. Amen. We use it to pay for the maintenance of the building. For example, we've got the roof that needs to be fixed. It's through the tithes and offerings that those things are taken care of, that the phone bill gets paid, that sometimes the pastor gets paid. You guys are taking care of me, and I appreciate it. But that's how it's done, is that there's no outside source. That means if people don't give, those things don't get taken care of. God has designed it so that way each church is supposed to be self-supporting, self-government, governing, and autonomous, meaning that we are not dependent on anyone else. We can trust God, that as we worship God, God takes care of his house, and that he does it through the voluntary, willing giving of his people. And that the first level, which is not giving, it is bringing the tithe. That's what God gives. Above and beyond that, we worship God with our giving. So we have the idea of tithing. Then we have the idea of giving. Now we're going to reach a third level of giving. This is called grace giving or faith promise giving. Now, the idea of a tithe is that God has already provided for us. We tithe. That's already the Lord's. The idea of giving on top of that is that God has supplied us. We have believe God's leading us to give, and it's something we give. Usually it's kind of out of the abundance that God is really taking care of us, and we want to give of that abundance. The idea of faith promise carries the idea that after everything is taken care of, God wants us by faith and by his grace to step out in uncomfortable spots where sometimes it doesn't quite work out on paper. But God says, I want to prove you, and you give for the purpose of taking care of missions. So the first two levels of giving take care of the local church. But beyond that, we want to be involved in what God is doing around the world, supporting missionaries, taking care of them. How are missionaries taken care of? By the voluntary giving of God's people. And that as God leads us to give, they're able to be supported and taken care of to be obedient to accomplishing the Great Commission at the various spots God has led them. That's the basic principle of grace giving. That grace giving or faith promise giving is the idea that this is above and beyond, and that we are depending by God by faith to supply as he has directed us to help take care of missions. Now, with that backdrop, let's look at the text and see what it says. First of all throughout here, we're going to have various examples. The first example is the physical example. The physical example. So notice with me in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. Now, once again, we have this word grace, and this is going to be carried out throughout here. This is grace giving. It is of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Now, remember, whenever we examine a passage, we have to understand who we're talking to and what we're speaking about. Who's writing class? Paul. Who's he writing to? The church of Corinth. Very good. And he writes to the church of Corinth and gives the example to the churches of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is a region, and in that region, there are various churches in that region that Paul is making reference to. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want you to understand, to have knowledge of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. He says, let me give you the example of these churches. Let me explain to you, Corinthian church, what these churches have been doing by faith for the Lord. Verse 2, how in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. So as the Apostle Paul goes on, he says these churches here are an example. How are they an example? Well, first of all, they're under great affliction. That in the churches of Macedonia, there's a lot of people that are persecuting these Christians for following after the Lord. And so it's not that they are, hey, look, they just have more money than they know what to do with. That's not the case. In fact, it says their deep poverty. It wasn't the idea that they were rich, and it wasn't the idea that they were sort of had money. They had deep poverty. So these are churches that don't have a lot of abundance. They are small churches, barely surviving, that are watching God work, and yet they decided to give to support missions despite their deep poverty. They're an example. He goes on to explain, verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Now, verse 3 is very important. We understand that if we have the ability to give, and we give, that's a great thing, but it's no big wonder. These churches, because of their great affliction and deep poverty, they were able to give not to their power, but beyond their power. What does that mean? They're giving beyond what the paper looks like. So when they put their budget and they put their thing, this doesn't make sense. But God's still supplying it. That is, we're giving even in beyond our deep poverty. We're giving beyond what works out on paper, beyond what works out according to the bank book. We're by grace watching God supply as they felt led to give a certain amount to the idea of supporting the Great Commission and the Apostle Paul and the work that he is doing. Now, that's pretty amazing that they didn't give to their power. They gave beyond their power. They were living by grace, or living by God's grace supplying. They were living by faith, saying that this doesn't work out, but this is what I believe God led us to do. So I surrendered myself and putting God to the test that God would supply all of my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Notice as he goes on in verse 4. "Praying us that with much entreaty that we would receive the gift to take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now, the Apostle Paul said this is how it worked out. When I'm visiting the churches of Macedonia on my way here, these churches said, "You know what, Apostle Paul, you're doing a great work. We really believe that God has led us to give you this money." And the Apostle Paul's like, "Wait a second, you guys are so poor. You guys have legitimate needs. Look at the affliction. Look at your deep poverty. How in the world are you giving to us?" And they said they entreated him. They said, "Listen, Paul, we're not taking no for an answer. We believe that this is what God had done." And Paul was floored that these churches in deep poverty, these people in deep poverty, would be willing to give beyond their power for the purpose of accomplishing the Great Commission. Paul is saying, wow, he was floored. He was like, no, I can't take this. And they're like, "You have to. But you need this more than I do." "No, we need God's grace more than that." Amen. "We're taking this." That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. That Paul is now writing to this church of Corinth and says, "Let me tell you about these churches up here. They were poor, and yet they were able to give. They were in deep affliction, and they gave. I tried to tell them no. And they said, "No, Paul, you need to take this because we want to be part of the fellowship of the ministry. We want to join with you in what God is doing across the world. We can't go and start these churches, but we know that you are. We want to join with you in what God is trying to get accomplished. This is how we're partnering. This is how we have the fellowship of the ministry. This is how we get to be a part of what God is doing in this world." And Paul is saying, wow. Now notice, Paul's not teaching this. He's learning this from the church that's saying, "We've surrendered ourselves to what God has." And he's like, wow, this is great. Paul says, "I wouldn't instruct anyone to do this except that they taught me this is what needs to happen. This is amazing." Notice as he goes on, Verse number 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, Paul says, let me explain this process. They just didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, I want to get rid of some money. The very first thing they did before they ever gave a dime is they gave themselves. Lord, I want to be involved in what you're doing in this world. I ask that you use me. How can I be used in helping missions be accomplished? How can I be used? You know what they did? Is they took the offering plate, set it on the ground, and then stepped inside of the offering plate and say, I offer myself to you. Amen. Lord, I surrender myself to you first. That's what God wants most of all, is he wants you. God wants to use you as an instrument to get his will accomplished. And you will never be a part of accomplishing the Great Commission until you first give of yourself. He says that's the first thing. They first gave of themselves unto the Lord. And then notice this, by the will of God. So how did they pick the number? How did they go up? They said, God, I want to be used by you. Now you direct me what works out. Now we understand they're not pulling impossible numbers out, meaning that lots and lots of zeros. But they're saying, you know what? By faith, I believe that you would like me to give to missions a certain amount. And I know it doesn't work out on paper because of our deep poverty, but I'm going to trust you. It's a reasonable number to trust you with to work out. Now, understand with the idea of the will of God and looking at our book, that we, like the Church of Corinth, which we'll cover in just a bit, have abundance. For us, the idea of supporting missions is not so much an act of faith as much as an act of discipline. Amen. God, as I look at my checkbook and I look at things, I probably need to stop eating Quick Trick donuts and use that money to support missions. Amen. That, you know what, I need to stop eating all the Burger King Whoppers, and you know, maybe I could stop getting a Starbucks coffee every week or every day and maybe use that to help support missions. Amen. So you understand, we're not asking, God's not asking for impossible numbers. He's asking to say, listen, I know it doesn't work out in here, and you know what, with your abundance, we're not in deep poverty. Amen. We have an abundance. That perhaps I should be disciplined and sacrifice something that I enjoy that I don't need and be able to use that for the idea that I give to the idea of missions. Again, if you're living in America, deep poverty is not our problem. It's the idea of how do we use our finances. Amen. And so again, it's not asking unreasonable. It's saying, can you, by God's will, God, what would you have me to do concerning the missions? That as I look at my checks, as I look at my bills, I look at the things that need to be on, Lord, by faith, what is it that you would have me to do in regards to missions? Now, remember, our first step is not that. Our first step is to say, Lord, I surrender myself. I want to be used as a vessel. Now that I'm surrendered, I'm more willing to listen. What would you have me to do in regards to missions? What can I do by faith and dependence and trusting in you to help support missions? Now, Paul's saying, here's an example of churches that were deep poverty, great affliction, that surrendered themselves to God and said, Paul, we want to be used. This is what I believe that God would have us to do by his will. We sought out God's will. This is what God would have us to do right now. We're giving it to you. No, I can't. No, you need to take this. This is what God told us to do. Praise the Lord, that they were willing to follow God in his example. Notice, if you don't mind, verse 6, insomuch we desired Titus that as he had begun, he would also finish in you the same grace also. So remember, Titus has already built up a good relationship with the church of Corinth. And so Paul says, hey, Titus came back and he says, you know what? The church of Corinth, they're starting to surrender. You know what, Paul? I think we need to teach the Corinthians this, because they could really be used in supporting missions. Amen. Can I go and explain what happened in the churches of Macedonia? Yeah, go ahead. And so Paul says, let me put this in a letter so that way you could deliver it to them. And that way you can teach them this principle of what happened to the Macedonians. Titus says, this is great. I want them to be involved. I know this is a church that could be involved. I know this is a church that could do something. And I can't wait to go explain this principle and explain the church of Corinth, which is the wealthiest New Testament church mentioned. He says they got abundance. They could be used of God to really support what is going on in the idea of missions. So we start off with a physical example. We have the churches of Macedonia that, as they surrendered themselves to the Lord, not by the teaching of Paul, but they said, we surrendered ourselves to God. We believe this is what God would have us to do. We're living by faith. We have deep poverty and whatnot, but this is what God wanted us to do. And we're depending by God's grace. We're depending on faith that God would take care of all of our needs and supply, that as we take care of God's business, he'll take care of our business. So we have a physical example, which now brings us to a divine example. A divine example. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, in your love towards us, see that you also abound in this grace also. So now Paul addresses the church of Corinth and he says, listen, you're a church that abounds in much. You abound in everything. You have lots of finances. You abound in faith. In fact, Paul's going to make reference to them in a different passage. You have these super Christians who think they're the greatest at all. I mean, you have all this faith. You know, this is a church that Paul spent a year and a half with. They've had Titus come and help them. They've had Apollos come and help them. They've had a lot of people. They abound in faith. They have great opportunities. You abound in utterance. Remember, utterance carries the idea of speaking. And 1 Corinthians, this is one of the things that the 1 Corinthian church bragged about. We have the gift of tongues. We're able to speak. We have utterance. He says, you have these gifts. God didn't give you these gifts to entertain yourself. He gave you these gifts to be used. You have all of these gifts in abundance. You have finances. You have faith. You have utterance. You have knowledge. Man, to have the Apostle Paul and Apollos spend time with him, you have knowledge. He says, in all diligence and your love towards us, see that you abound in this grace also. The same grace that God is showing the churches of Macedonia in their deep poverty, God can show you this great grace too. As you give by faith unto the Lord and helping God accomplish the great commission through these missions projects. That God can prove himself to you, that you can abound in grace. You've abound in all these other things, abound in grace. Watch God work. That's a good challenge. Then notice as he gives the example of Christ in here, he says, verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now notice this. He said, I'm not commanding you to do this. I'm giving you the example of what other churches do, and I'm saying you could do this too. And I'm also proving the sincerity of your love. You guys say you love missions and you love starting churches. Prove it. Amen. Prove it. How's the biggest way to prove it for people who are in abundance? With your wallet. Yep. With your wallet. He says, prove it. I want to prove that you say you love missionaries, that you love missions projects, that you love watching God work. Prove it. Prove it. I want to prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Verse 9 is a powerful theological statement. Jesus, who was God and is God, robed himself in flesh and was born poor. He left all the riches and glory that was at his disposal, set them aside, and was born as a lowly human in one of the poorest families around. Amen. He did not have servants. He did not have cushy palace. He worked. Remember that before he started his public ministry, he worked a job as a carpenter. He had probably worked it for 15 years, worked hard. He is someone who he didn't have to, but he chose to for the purpose that he could live the same life that you and I lived. That through his poverty, we became rich. We can go to heaven and have our sins forgiven because Jesus chose to be poor for us. Jesus was the great example. He chose to be poor so that way people could be rich. He says, this is the idea of grace giving, is that we choose to give part of our finances and give it away for God's project so more people can get saved. You know, that's worthwhile. I heard an old statistic. I can't verify it, but the old statistic is that every $3 that is given to missions, someone gets saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that was true? Even if it was every $10 that someone got saved still, would it be worth it?
Yes.
You understand the idea that people are getting saved because we choose to give, that makes money us look at the money quite differently.
Amen.
How many people you want to get saved? How many people can I afford? You understand this is a big deal. That Jesus was our example. He gave up everything so we could have everything. And by his example, we can give up some so others can have more. Not the idea of finances. We're not giving our finances to someone so they could have it. We're giving our finances so they could have something better. Salvation. Full, free, and forever. That people could hear about the free gift of salvation so they can live eternally with God forever. Jesus was our example, so we have a physical example. Here are some churches that had deep poverty, great affliction, but they gave anyways because they gave themselves to the Lord and gave themselves to the will of God, and they wouldn't take no for an answer for Paul. Take this. We want to help in what you're doing. We have a physical example. We have a divine example that Jesus Christ gave up riches and became poor so we can enjoy riches. And we could follow that same example. We also have with it the idea of a principled example. A principled example. Notice with me as we go on. Before a principled, we have a willing example. We have a physical example, a divine example, and then a willing example. In this passage, it is interesting to see how many times that word willing is used. And that's a great emphasis. No one is making you give.
Amen.
No one is making you give. This is something you choose to do as you look to God for yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This is something you choose to do. Verse number 10. And herein I give my advice. Notice Paul is making sure it's not a command. He said, I'm telling you something that would be good for you. I'm not going to make you give it. I'm not commanding you to give. I'm saying this is something you should consider doing. Here's my advice. I want to help you out. I want to advise you. I want to direct you how you can have a blessing. He says, herein I give my advice. For this is expedient. This is good for you. This is profitable for you, who hath begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, he's making a reference that what started this all was that the church of Corinth said, we got lots of money. We're going to help out with missions projects. So Paul, when he started visiting other churches, he said, you know what? The church of Corinth said they were going to give this much to help missions project. I thought that was a great idea. That's where Macedonia said, well, we want to help out. Let's give. The problem is that Corinth never carried through. They had a lot of talk, and Paul bragged about it. But he came back and said, hey, guys, you promised you were going to give, and I've been bragging everywhere that you were. You should probably carry in your word.
Yeah.
You should probably, carry through what you said you were going to do. By the way, that's a principle of missions as well, that if you say that you're going to give to missions, those missionaries are going to be dependent upon it. In fact, we build our budget based off of what you decide to do. And if you say, well, you know what, that was fun for 2 months, now I quit. Well, now we're going to be in a place where we promise these missionaries finances. So it carries the idea that you need to carry through your word as well. And you need to be willing to carry it out as an example. We usually challenge people to make a commitment for 1 year. And then after the next year, during our missions revival, reevaluate, see where you're at now, because circumstances change. You lose a job, you gain a job, get a better job, get a promotion, lose, you know, inflation, all those things go in there. So each year, what would God have me to do this year concerning missions? And then the next year, what would God have me to do this year concerning missions? What would God have me to do? And we want you to make a reasonable, educated decision based off the information you have, looking at your own finances and trusting what God can do for you by faith. Notice, if you don't mind, as we continue on verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient, this is profitable, this is what you need. Who hath begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, as there was a readiness to will, so that there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So again, Paul says there's a willing example. And again, he's not telling you to consider doing something that you don't have. Amen. He says you need to have a realistic evaluation of what you have and what you could trust God by faith. If you give this amount, that God would supply your needs. So you're not asking for something unreasonable. For example, if you only make $15,000 a year, it would be very unreasonable for you to say, I'm going to give $15,000 to missions. Amen. You got bills to pay. It just doesn't make sense. Does it make sense? It's not reasonable. Sure, God can do it, but you're responsible for paying your bills. Amen. You're responsible for keeping a good testimony. But when you give, you're saying, Lord, I'm giving this amount. I'm expecting you by faith to take care of those needs that I have and that you would work as I support you. Does that make sense? Yeah. This is a decision you have to make. No one can force you to do this. This is something that you go to God and say, God, what would you have me to do? I want to be willing. First of all, you give of yourself, and then you find God's will, and you must be willing to do it. God is looking for the idea of the heart of the matter. He's looking to see what's more important to God here is not how much you give, as the idea of your willingness to give. That's why Jesus looked at the widow who had two mites, and when she gave it in, Jesus said, she gave in more than everyone else. They're like, well, everyone else has thrown in more money. He says, it's not the money. It's that willingness to serve God, that willingness to be obedient, that willingness to be used of God. That's what God is looking for. And so you don't compare amounts to everyone else, because it's not a bragging contest. It's what you can do in your circumstances as you believe God has led you. Amen. Notice as it goes on, we start off with a physical example. Then we go to a divine example. Then we have a willing example. Then we have a principled example. Notice as we go on, this is going to be important as we see the principle of this. Many people take this passage and try to teach something that's not there. Let's just see what the passage says. Verse 13. For I mean not that other men might be eased and ye be burdened. We'll just stop right there. This is not teaching socialism. It is not teaching an idea that you take from rich people and you give to poor people and try to make things equal. That is not what is being said. Not at all. We're not trying to teach a socialism. We're not trying to teach an equality of finances. But without a doubt, there are some people who have abundance and there are some people who have need. And the idea of the need is the gospel. And so if we could take some of our finances and use it so we can meet the need of salvation for them by telling them the free gift, then that's worth the investment. Yeah. Notice it goes in verse 14. But by inequality now at this time, that your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now we understand that we get more out of missions than finances. It's not the idea that God just supplies it, but we also at the same time get to invest in souls. And when we stand before God and see the people who are saved because we were invested, amen, that's going to be worth it. Amen. We're going to get more out of this than just giving money and God taking care of our supply. that as we're invested, we get to see people come to know Christ as their Savior, churches be started, people get called into the ministry, other preachers are called and serving because we got to be investing in what God is doing. Amen. The idea is that there's a lot more than just trying to make things equal financially. That there's more of a want than just finances. If the Church of Corinth has a lot of money, their want is not money. Amen. Their want or their need is more souls to their account. Amen. And so they're giving the finances. In return, people are getting saved, and that gets added to their account. God supplies. God works. Notice in verse 15, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. This is from Exodus. And it's carrying the idea that God is able to supply and God is able to work. And that as we give in our abundance or give by grace, we give by faith, that God is able to take care of our finances, but then God is able to meet the need. If we said, well, you know what? We need our finances. We're not going to give. Sure, we could be taken care of. But people are going to die and go to an awful place called hell without someone warning them, without someone trying to reach them. Now, that's a horrible fate. God is trying to take care of his finances. Remember, God uses human instrumentality to take care of his work here on earth. He doesn't rain down money. He doesn't have a rainbow that, you know, at the end of it has a pot of gold. He doesn't have a money tree that just kind of erupts. He uses human instrumentality. You were saved because of a human instrument telling you the gospel, leaving you a track, reaching you some way, somehow. And in order for them to reach that, someone had to pay for that Bible, pay for that track, or to send that preacher there so he could make it available. That there's a whole thing behind this that God is trying to get accomplished, and he uses human instrumentality. If nobody gave to missions, missionaries have no way of going to the mission field to reach those people. So we understand here, we're not teaching a socialism. We're teaching God's system of using human instrumentality to get his work accomplished. And that we have a principled example here of doing things with the right heart and watching God work. We now follow with an ascent example. So we start off with a physical example. The churches of Macedonia as an example of giving by faith, giving by grace, giving of a willing heart as they gave themselves to the Lord first and then to God's will. Then after that, we have a divine example, the example of Christ who left the glories of heaven, the riches of heaven, and became poor so we could have the abundance and be rich. We came with it the willing example, that it is a willing heart, not of command, but it's something we consider doing for ourselves and put God to the faith that we choose to do this and are not forced to do this as we surrender ourselves to God's will. We have a principled example explaining the idea of how God uses human instrumentality to get his work accomplished, that we give by faith, expecting God to take care of our finances, then God uses our finances that we sent out to help supply so more people can get saved, more churches can get started and move forward. Watching God work and get his work accomplished, this is the principle we find here. Then we see the sent example. Notice with me in verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Now, he goes back to Titus. Remember, Titus just came back and he says, Paul, I love these people. I want to help them. And he says, praise the Lord that Titus has a care for you. He wants to teach you. He wants to help you with these things and you trust him. Now, that's going to be important. Notice this, if you don't mind. And verse 17, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went to you. Meaning that, man, he was like, Paul, I want to go. Okay, go. Verse 18, and we sent with him the brother. Now, this brother is not going to be named, but this is going to be someone who is sent by other churches as a representation to go with Titus for the idea of keeping accountability with finances. Now, whenever we start giving finances, there's an expectation that there should be an accountability. We live in 21st century America. We have watched church after church after church on television, whatever else, that misuse finances all the time. that if we give, we should have an expectation that the finances we give are being exactly delivered to where we want it to go. Amen. That it's not being used to line someone's pocket. I meant we even have such a thing with charities and nonprofits that you have to search up the nonprofits to see how much of the money you give actually gets to them. Amen. That it's a common idea now, a common scam, and we don't want to be a part of that. We want to make it so the money that we give by faith and sacrificially for the idea of missions gets to missions. Amen. So here there's going to be Titus and an unnamed brother. The people of Corinth know him. Paul doesn't mention his name. But here is someone that's trusted. Now remember, banks work differently back then. You don't have electronics. You don't have, well, I'm just transferring accounts on the computer and just ones and zeros. Money was carried physically. And if you're going to carry all this money that's all the churches in Macedonia said, here's some money, you want to make sure that it gets there. And so they have Titus and this other brother who's trusted to make sure that those finances are taken care of. Now with it, you need someone that you could have integrity, that has integrity, that you know that he's not going to miss some money. Some of the money's not going to fall off the back of the car. That you want to make sure that gets there, that is going to be full of integrity. The idea that finances should be carried through with integrity is a very important part. And some churches give blindly and say, I don't know where my money goes. You should know where your money goes. You should know who's being supported, what's being taken care of, what's the character of the people who's receiving your money. That's why we like you to be personal with our missionaries to say, you know what? I love the Cook family. I want to make sure that they're taken care of. I love the Kokenzie family. I want to make sure that they're taken care of. You have a personal thing. I want to make sure that they're, and I have confidence that that family is doing what they're supposed to do. That they're not having a vacation in Brazil and just living off a plantation and just saying, I'm enjoying the money. Forget the ministry. They're paying me just to live. We don't want that either. We want to have confidence that the finances that's sending out by faith is being used for the idea of accomplishing the Great Commission. Amen. Notice again as it goes on. In verse 19, and not that only, but who was also chosen. It's speaking about this brother who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same God and the declaration of your ready mind. Now, when Paul has a missionary team, he already has preacher boys. He has a physician with him. He has Aquila and Priscilla who could work with couples. He's got a lot of people. But doesn't it make sense that he also has a finance guy? And that Paul doesn't have to deal directly with the money, but he has a finance guy who's keeping track and keeping the books and making sure things are taken care of. Praise the Lord for finance people.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for someone who's able to keep accurate record so that way when someone asks, we could say, here, let me show you where things went. Praise the Lord for that. And that was one thing Paul didn't have to worry about because this brother was trusted to be the person to make sure the money was delivered exactly where it was supposed to go and that he was trusted not to spend it, not to waste it, not to whatever. Praise the Lord for that. This is an important step of the idea of supporting missions. Notice as it goes on. Verse 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered to us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. Verse 20 and 21 is very clear. When you start messing with finances, you want to make sure that you're above board and that no one could accuse you of wasting that money. There's an accountability here. Again, the finance man, he says, this is why we have the guy, that you're not trusting me because the church of Corinth is already accusing Paul of things. He says, I don't want to be accused of wasting money. Here's someone who kept the books, who could keep record, that you can have a clear conscience and a clear mind to know where the finances were going, how they were spending, and that it was done wisely. Praise the Lord for this principle here. Verse number 22. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, and now much more diligent, and upon the great confidence which I have in you. Notice in verse 22, he was proved. The idea proved in the Bible carries the idea that he was put to the test and he passed.
Amen.
This is someone that's proved himself to be trusted with finances. You don't want to put someone who never has been trusted with finances and say, now you're in charge. You want to prove that they are not going to take, they're not going to skim, they're not going to cook the books, they're going to do exactly what they're doing. They're proved. So people have confidence that my finances that I'm giving by faith is being used properly by faith. Does it make sense? Yep. Verse number 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, for he's my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren to be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of God. Verse 23 says, listen, if you need a character reference for either Titus or this guy, these are the people. Notice there's two people dealing with the finances there. It's not just this guy, but you also have Titus, who both of them are keeping each other accountable and saying everything's done, everything's signed, everything's up there. We're keeping two people so that way one person it's easy to accuse, but two people to say, no, we've done everything right. And both of them have integrity. Both of them have been proven. Again, they're doing this idea that if we're giving by faith, we should also have an expectation that the deliverance of those finances are going to be done correctly. Does that make sense? Isn't this very practical? And it should be the idea of where's the finances going. Notice 24. Whether ye show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and are boasting on your behalf. He wraps it up and says, remember, I've been bragging everywhere that you guys were going to give. We're sending Titus and this other brother who's not named, but everyone knew him, to come up there for the purpose of gathering up the finances because you said you were going to give it. And we're going to use it to help accomplish the Great Commission going forward and let you know they're on their way. There's an expectation. Now, it's not a command, but the Corinthian church had told people they were going to give, just carrying out what they said they were going to do. Now, going to us practically, every year we set up a budget for our finances. What we do... practically, is from our missions revival, which just happened, we are encouraging you to pray about what God would have you to give and start giving now. Then from this time to December, what we do is we look at how much is given on average to missions, and then the finance folks get together and they plan out the budget of what we're doing with our missions. Whether we give a raise to our missionaries, which we want to try to raise up some of our missionaries, we're still giving $50 a month. We'd like to at least give them $100 a month so that way we're being practical with our money, practical help with them. Or take on new missionaries. We believe that God is leading us to take these missionaries. So that way, when we have our church finance meeting at the beginning of the year, we could present a realistic budget. This is what's been coming in. This is what we believe we could do for this next year. And we want people to know how we're going to spend it. So during this time, it is the next steps for you is to give yourself to the Lord. God, I want to be used of you. Then you say, God, what would you have me to do by faith as I realistically look at my finances? What can I do? What can I do without? What would you have me to do? And then by faith, give above and beyond the tithe, above and beyond just giving. The tithe and the giving go to support this local church. Faith promise and missions go specifically to missionaries to help the missions projects that God is using this church to support. So by faith, you say, God, what would you have me to do? Then you, by faith, give it regularly. Whether you say, I'm going to give for every paycheck, or I'm going to give every week, or I'm going to give every month. That's up to you to determine, but we will take the average of what's giving in the next couple of months so we can make a realistic, practical budget. Amen. Of what we could do to support our missionaries for this next year. And we want you to be involved. Every one of us can be involved. You know that even the smallest child can give 5 cents. They could find a nickel somewhere. Amen. Their parents can say, you know what? I want you to start getting a blessing. I'm going to give you a quarter, and I want you to start giving. For some of those children who have an allowance, parents, teach your kid how to give. Say, all right, you get a dollar allowance every week. So with that dollar, a tenth already belongs to God. So we're going to change the dollar into dimes. One dime is the Lord. Well, you don't want to just tip God. So why don't you give two dimes to God? That's to help support the local church. But you also want to be involved in missions. So what do you believe that God would have you to do concerning that? Maybe it's one dime or two dime, and then let God supply your need with what is left. Amen. And then every week, that child, if they get an allowance weekly or monthly or whatever they give, you teach them that. By the time they turn and have a workable job, even if they only work like 5 hours a week, parents, you teach them, all right? This is your paycheck. You tithe off of the gross, not the net, and let them give. And then say, well, just don't give, do bare minimum, worship the Lord, give above and beyond that. And then you should be involved in missions as well. You understand, we teach children to do this early. By the time they're adults and they're getting full-fledged jobs, this is already habit, and we're watching things move forward. Amen. And they've already seen that God has proven themselves to them as a child. Now, as adult, you said, I've never heard this stuff before. Well, good thing you get to watch God work now. Put him to the test and watch him work. Watch him supply your need, and watch God use you and your finances to help God accomplish the Great Commission by faith. To let God work. So what I want you to do tonight is that as we're going to have an invitation, I want to invite you to respond. First of all, you say, God, I want to be used and I surrender myself to you. Second of all, show me what you would have me to do according to your will. And then I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to give that amount, whether it's every week or every paycheck or every month, whatever it is that you have for yourself. And God, I'm going to watch you by faith. Help me to keep this commitment for the next year. By faith, it may be hard, may be challenging, but help me to keep this commitment because these missionaries are depending on that. And I'm going to watch you supply my need. And then give that. Sometimes we pass out cards. We're not doing it this time. But we're letting you know that we're going to take an average. We're not trying to see what you're giving. We're taking an average of what is given. So that way we can make an informed decision of what to do concerning missions for our church in this next year. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we explain this principle here, I'm praying that it was a great help and a great example to us that we could find practically what we can do in helping you accomplish the Great Commission in our world, in our time. That we're thankful for the missionaries we do support, and we would love to do even more projects. We need your wisdom and we need your direction. We need you to show us what you would have us to do. Lord, I'm asking that you would give these good folks courage and bravery to surrender themselves to you first of all and say, Lord, I want to be used of you. Show me what to do. And that you would direct them an amount of what you would have them to do, realistically based off of their circumstances, their finances, and what you give them to do. Lord, I'm asking that you would even challenge parents to teach their children to give, and that they could get in the habit of giving and watching you supply their needs too. Lord, help us as we look forward to taking another step in what we're doing in our missions projects this upcoming year. Lord, help us now with the decisions we're fixing to make. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you wouldn't mind to stand to your feet. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. 6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.